Hello, and welcome to the October 2018 InfoTech Threat Landscape Briefing. My name is Jessica Ireland, and I'm a director in our Security and Threat Intelligence practice. I will be facilitating today's briefing. During today's discussion, we will cover topics related to cybersecurity, threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and threat actor exploits and tactics. Our cybersecurity section covers high-level topics such as threat trends, data breaches, control strategies, and exposure to vulnerabilities that act to broaden your understanding of cybersecurity's impact on your business. Our threat actor campaign section covers topics related to nation-states, cybercriminals, and hacktivists orchestrating campaigns designed to compromise networks and exfiltrate sensitive data. Our regulatory compliance and legal section covers trends in the global regulatory and legal landscape with the potential to impact compliance adherences or disrupt business operations. And lastly, our exploitation and tactics section provides information related to the tools, tactics, and exploits threat actors are leveraging in their attack campaigns. Today's briefing will be supported by myself, Senior Research Manager Céline Gravelins, Senior Consulting Analyst Ian Mulholland, and Consulting Analyst Logan Rohde. During today's briefing, we will cover the following topics: a roundup of Cybersecurity Awareness Month, British Airways hit, don't leave policies to collect dust, and was the DNC hack in August a false alarm? Let's begin.
The internet has become an integral part of everyone's daily life, and with people out there able to manipulate it to commit crime, it is important for the average user to understand the dangers that the internet poses and how to protect themselves from becoming a cyber victim. The month of October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Every year, this time is used to raise awareness of cybersecurity best practices. Both the United States government and the Canadian government have set themes for each week of the month. During each week, efforts to spread cybersecurity awareness should be focused on the depicted theme. This way, everybody is learning similar material at the same time, and that all of the most important topics are considered and covered. For week one, the USA focuses on basic skills that the average family can employ to keep their homes safe from cyber threats. Canada is spending this week focused on the idea that we all share the internet, and therefore it is our duty and in our best interest to practice proper security best practices. For week two, the USA focuses on providing guidance to parents, teachers, and counselors on how to prepare the next generation of cybersecurity professionals. With a massive cybersecurity skills gap that exists today, the leaders of our communities need to take a more active role in helping young students consider a career in cybersecurity. Canada is spending this week focused on considering security during the acquisition or purchase of information technology software or hardware. For week three, the USA focuses on security awareness and training in the workplace. Canada focuses on the value that all data inherently has and why cybercriminals want it. For week four, the USA will focus on providing guidance on how the country can better secure its critical infrastructure. Canada is spending the week focusing on improving its citizens' digital literacy so that they can make better, more informed decisions when using the internet. Unlike the USA, Canada took advantage of the last 2 days of October to assign a fifth theme that focuses on closing the cybersecurity skills gap, a topic similar to the one USA covered in week two. Links to more information on each of these topics can be found at the bottom of the slide. Many security awareness and training vendors have taken it upon themselves to offer free materials for anybody to use. These materials can be used to educate employees, friends, and family in the best practices for staying safe while using the internet. I want to highlight a few of these available resources. Number one, the company Cofence, which focuses mostly on providing a variety of phishing-related services, has created 17 interactive security awareness and training modules that cover common security topics and 4 modules based on compliance obligations, including GDPR, payment data compliance, personal data compliance, and healthcare compliance. These modules come in SCORM compliant modules or in interactive PDF files so that you are able to use them in any way you like. They are about 5 minutes long and come with optional quiz questions. Number two, the security awareness company offers 3 free training modules that cover the CIA triad, PII, and phishing. These modules are downloaded as .zip files and are loaded into local browsers. This company also offers other supporting material for security awareness and training, including posters, games, and videos. And finally, Infotech has also prepared 8 short PowerPoint decks on common security topics. These decks are packed with information regarding best practices for topics such as phishing, password security, and web usage. Additionally, we provide over 3 dozen sample knowledge questions for you to use in your testing efforts. If you are looking to begin the development of a security awareness and training program, or just to improve an existing one, our research on this area of security includes 3 Excel tools that aim to identify the risks and vulnerabilities of all user groups within an organization, define the current and future maturity states of your program, and assign priority values to both the user groups to be trained and the topics that they will be trained upon, so that your time can be spent where the most value can be achieved. Take advantage of these materials and help spread security awareness. The more people who are reminded of the importance of being safe online, the better.
On September 6th, British Airways publicly acknowledged that they suffered a data breach that exposed the names, emails, physical addresses, and payment card information, including security codes and expiry dates, of some 380,000 customers. The breach affected those who booked flights between August 21st and September 5th of this year, and was the result of attackers launching a malicious script that intercepted data as customers made their payment on the British Airways website. So far, the perpetrators have not been identified, but Magecart, the same hacking group believed to be behind the recent attack on Ticketmaster UK, is the primary suspect. Data breaches have become commonplace in news headlines, which may make this attack seem like just another drop in the bucket. But because British Airways operates in the EU and collects data on EU citizens, it is under the scope of the General Data Protection Regulation, which came into effect May 25th to safeguard Europeans' personal data. There are stiff penalties for GDPR non-compliance, and Forbes has reported that experts are expecting British Airways to face fines, but no one is sure how severely British Airways will be punished, as this is the first time a major organization will be put under the GDPR microscope. The real question is, was British Airways negligent with regards to their cybersecurity controls? GDPR takes several factors into account when it comes to issuing fines. As we can see in this chart, the scope, severity of damage, intention of the organization, overall security measures, past incidents, and cooperation all affect the size of the fine. One thing British Airways did very well was notifying affected stakeholders. GDPR requires that regulatory agencies be notified of a breach within 72 hours of discovery, and that affected stakeholders be informed without undue delay. British Airways took only 1 day to get word out to the public, and they even went so far as to purchase ad space in newspapers to ensure that those affected were alerted of the breach. While this response time is admirable, it is still unclear if the airline was as responsible with the other relevant GDPR requirements noted above. Experts don't think British Airways will be subject to the maximum fine, but suspect the regulatory agencies will make an example of the airline to show the world that they are serious about enforcing the new rules for data privacy. The good news is that unless you booked a flight with British Airways between August 21st and September 5th, you don't need to do anything immediately. If you did book a flight during this time, the usual data breach measures should be taken. Watch for updates from the company, notify your credit card provider and financial institution, and watch for any suspicious activity on your accounts. However, it is a good idea to watch this case closely, especially if you're an organization that is affected by GDPR, as this case is likely to set the pace for GDPR enforcement to come. And even if you're not under the scope of GDPR, it's still a good idea to pay attention. Several states in the US have introduced data privacy laws similar to GDPR, so the British Airways case may set a precedent that will also affect the enforcement of these other regulations. If you've been putting off your GDPR duties but need to get your organization in shape, have a look at Infotech's blueprint on fast-tracking GDPR compliance. Infotech also has some new material to help you plan your incident response communications for when that inevitable data breach strikes.
Security policies are foundational for any strong security program. These documents are essential to outline the required behavior of users and security controls in place to protect corporate assets. Policy allows employees to know what's required of them and allows management to monitor and audit their security practices against the standard policy. And formally documented policies are often required for compliance with regulations. The development of policy documents is an ambitious task, but the real challenge comes later on in the process. Unless policies are effectively communicated, enforced, and updated, employees won't know what's required of them and will not comply with essential standards, making policies essentially powerless. A Kaspersky study found that while 86% of companies surveyed had security policies, only 40% of non-IT employees were even aware of these policies. Also, 46% of companies reported insufficient time and resources to update or implement policies. And from there, 77% of IT professionals believe that their policies are in need of improvement and updating. And as we all know by now, when it comes to security, humans continue to be the weakest link. And as we say in the security space all the time, it's not a matter of if you suffer an incident, but when. And when we take a closer look, some of the most prevalent security incidents and breaches are the result of humans. Consider an incident involving a fraudulent phishing email where scammers impersonate a legitimate business request or user. This results in uneducated users sharing confidential information or credentials, maybe transferring money to an unauthorized account, or clicking or downloading malware or other viruses. Many of these attempts are very rudimentary efforts, but users still fall prey without effective training and education ingrained into their daily routine. By all means, use controls to address issues where possible. Tighten and fine-tune spam filters, update the list of blocked senders, but it's not fail-safe. It can be the more sophisticated emails that actually make it through these controls, and those are the ones that are most likely to fool your users. Implementing controls does not negate the need for education. In working in IT, it's sometimes easy to develop a false sense of security or even superiority when it comes to adhering to your policies and being secure. Sure, you're well aware of the risks out there and you know how to identify a phony email. But keep in mind other policies that you don't necessarily encounter every day. Let's consider your patch management policy. Some of the most severe attacks take advantage of exploiting unpatched systems. But at the same time, developing a formal patch management program is a relatively low-cost yet highly effective method of securing your systems. If you have a vulnerability and patch management policy in place, it may be time to review it. Are you truly adhering to it? Are you extending it to new systems? And are end users encouraged to actively update alerts on their mobile devices immediately rather than delaying? With October being Cybersecurity Awareness Month, take advantage of the additional attention that computer safety is getting. Education can go a long way in optimizing these processes. So what can you do about it? It comes down to updating your policies on a regular basis, let's say annually, or maybe sooner if there's a significant change, and actively enforcing them with both end users and for IT processes. Continue to implement security controls, but awareness and training should be at the top of any security professional's agenda. It's not a one-and-done initiative. At InfoTech, we recommend a micro-learning approach. Micro-learning is the concept of breaking down large or macro security topics into more manageable, bite-sized modules for end users. It's not a once-a-year, all-day session where users cover all security topics and then likely forget them for the next year. But rather, these learning modules will be communicated much more frequently and harness a wide variety of communication methods to keep users engaged. So modules are short, maybe a 30-second email, a 5-minute video, maybe a half-hour classroom session. This leads to less user fatigue and also allows security to stay top of mind all throughout the year. It also lets modules be updated easily, particularly as new threats might appear or as you receive feedback from users. It keeps users engaged and nimble as they can be ready to face new threats. So what are the benefits of microlearning? Really, it's not disruptive. You can have short sessions and interjections, maybe weekly, but users won't feel like it's a waste of time that being pulled into a classroom for an entire day sometimes can feel like. Also, you can do quick updates. These modules allow for specific sessions to close knowledge gaps faster and quickly update users on new trends or threats that they might need to be aware of. Also, it's easy to design. Smaller sessions make it a lot easier to create training material, and it takes up less of your own time in development. Also, it's just manageable. End users will find the short sessions easier to handle and remember without losing the impact due to the specific focus. Plus, you can keep training relevant. With shorter but more frequent training, the content can remain relevant to the changes in the cybersecurity environment and use current real-life examples. So let's recap some of the best practices of microlearning. First, make sure you keep it specific. Limit the number of learning objectives to about 1 to 3 and focus on a specific topic. Also, make sure it's current. Continue to update the training to reflect current trends and new threats that are effective today. Also, keep it frequent. Make sure security is on the top of your user's mind with short sessions to ensure there's no training fatigue. Also, a best practice is to make sure it's accessible. Allow users to access the training modules easily. Maybe it can be a smartphone-compatible app, or you can create a searchable library for your learning modules. Next, make sure you keep it real. Use real-life examples to emphasize the relevance and importance of the training. From there, you can also make it interactive. Include activities, demos, quizzes, any other way to keep your users engaged. And lastly, remember to keep it short. These sessions should last between about 4 to 20 minutes on average. So consider leveraging an approach like microlearning for awareness and training, along with regular updates of your security policies, to ensure that your organization is reaching the level of security that was desired when the policies were first written. InfoTech offers policy templates if you're starting from scratch, and we can also review existing security policies to identify gaps and areas of improvement. If you're looking to develop or update your security awareness and training program, we can certainly help with that too.
Once again, the Democratic National Committee is in the news for being the victim of a cyber attack heading into midterm election season. The DNC is positioning the hack against its voter base as a third-party test of its database's security. The attack was mitigated before a true compromise occurred. In August of this year, security firm Lookout Incorporated identified a fake login page on the voting platform, Vote Builder, used by national and state Democratic groups. This fake page had originally been interpreted as part of a phishing attack focused on stealing usernames and passwords from the Democratic Committee's records of voter information. However, Lookout Incorporated and the DNC's cybersecurity team believe the page was actually created by some third party with the intention of running a simulated phishing test on Vote Builder. The third party in question has not been identified yet, nor did the DNC confirm they approved the test. Officials say it was between the DNC and one of its state branches. The DNC has been in the news regarding cybersecurity as a result of the 2016 presidential election around the leaked email controversy, where Russia's military intelligence agency was charged as being involved. With this type of situation, the recommendations fall under your incident response strategy. Build this type of thing into your incident response runbook. Anticipate this scenario and determine what your team would do if this were to occur in one of your branch offices. Also, communicate with your team and the leaders of incident response programs across your location, so everyone's on the same page if you want to run a simulation. If your organization does regularly conduct pen and phishing tests, ensure that branch organizations are not conducting them all over without approval or without communicating. These types of tests should be communicated broadly so everyone's aware, and they must comply with organizational policies. Similarly, any pen test done against cloud services in particular should be approved by the cloud provider as well. This concludes our monthly threat briefing. If you have any questions or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us to set up an analyst call. Thank you, and happy October.